to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Welcome to show number 18 of the Disney Nerd Podcast. We finally have a full crew today again after not having all of us around for the last couple weeks. Today, we're going over some Disney news and also play some Armchair Imagineer. This is Tom.
This is Farrah.
This is Jimmy.
And this is Ed. And here we go. Before we get started, let's share some of these things we picked up over the course of the week. We heard that the Magic Bands are being tested on the annual pass holders now. It seems like it's random testing, and it doesn't look like the entire system's hooked up. You're going to get the bracelet for your replacing your annual pass so you can get into the park, and you're also going to get a card. The card's going to then let you take advantage of the discounts for the annual pass and also get you the parking, I guess, on the way into the parking lots. And I tell you what, if you do have an annual pass and you're asked to test this out, give us an email. Let us know how it works out. We also heard some news. Last week's show, we talked about Walt's Barn. I hope everybody listened to it and you enjoyed it. We also heard back from Walt's Barn, and they do have their guest for this upcoming month. It's going to be Jack Lindquist. He's going to be there, I believe it's the third Sunday of February. We'll definitely double check on the dates. But Jack Lindquist is going to be there, former president of Disneyland, 50-plus year employee of the parks. Definitely going to be an interesting speaker to have or to be able to see. I really envy you people on the left coast. We heard some news about the parks. I read this in a couple different places. It seems like during the daytimes right now, the monorail seems to be down. From about 11 in the morning till maybe 7 at night, the monorail going around the Magic Kingdom loop is being used to, I guess, bring supplies or do some type of construction, or they're working on the track or something like that. Why they can't do this at night, I'm not sure, but FYI, be aware of that. The other news to pass on is that in the Magic Kingdom, they're starting to take the lights down on the castle, so the crane's going to be up. For all your photographing pleasure, you'll be able to take a picture of the crane with the castle for about a month, I think. So I believe that's it for the news around the parks. We do have some restaurant news about the Tables in Wonderland, and Tom's going to help us out with that. What's going on there, Tom?
Yeah, as you guys know, I'm actually very much of an advocate of the Tables in Wonderland program. Because of, I have never gotten a chance to do the dining plan because of the annual pass holder. Well, news just broke in the last week or so that starting on August 1st, Victoria and Albert's is actually going to be removed from the Tables Wonderland program. So you're no longer able to use your card at all at Victoria and Albert's. In addition to that, there's going to be some restaurants that are now going to have blackout dates. Those restaurants include Le Cellier, Oscahoos, 1900 Park Fair, Dinner Only at Ohana, Chef Mickey's, and Cinderella's Royal Table. The additional blackout dates are November 23rd to 29th, so basically Thanksgiving week, December 21st to 27th, which is Christmas week, March 8th to April 4th, which I'm assuming is spring break, and then May 31st to June 20th, which that one doesn't make sense to me, but that is the blackout dates for those particular restaurants. So you'll not be able to use Tables in Wonderland during those blocks of time.
Well, it's good to know. Be careful with your planning, guys, if you're going down during those weeks and you're planning on using the Tables of Wonderland. So that's it for the news at Disney World. On with the show.
True colors shining through those brilliant colors glowing bright them through, and you'll see your true colors shining through. Those brilliant true colors glowing brightly inside you. So don't be afraid to let them through. Your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow.
As I mentioned in the opening, we as Disney enthusiasts, I'm sure, and all of people listening that's love Disney, I've always wanted to be, what if I was an Imagineer? So, you know, we're us here, the Disney Nerd Podcast, is going to play that game today. We're going to take a look at each of the parks, and we're going to see, think of things that, if we were an Imagineer, what would we add, what would we change, or what would we remove? So that's what the show is about today, is we're going to be Imagineer for a day for Walt Disney World.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, and I'm already thinking. And I've got a couple ideas for that. Which park do you want to start at?
Why don't we start at Animal Kingdom?
With Animal Kingdom, there's a couple things that I would do, but I'm going to save one of the ideas I have for it in another park as well. So I'm going to just stick to the one idea that I have for Animal Kingdom, which is I think it needs more sit-down restaurants. Now, that being said, I haven't been to Yak and Yeti, but I just, every time we're in Animal Kingdom, I just find there's not a lot of sit-down restaurant options, and we definitely tend towards the sit-down versus the counter service.
The Yak and Yeti is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, and I've booked it several times, but for one reason or another, we had to cancel or reschedule our dinner reservation, and when we did, we didn't really have a whole lot of options, you know, inside that park. So it was basically, I think, the Yak and Yeti or the
Tusker House.
Do they have, I don't do a lot of sit downs in Animal Kingdom. Do they have a restaurant similar to the restaurants they have at the Animal Kingdom Lodge? I always hear how great the African food restaurants are in Boma or something like that. Do they have something similar to that at the park?
Not that I'm aware of.
I haven't, because I don't know, there's not really it's a lot of Asia and India. There's not a lot of, like, true Africa there other than Kilimanjaro, as far as I know. So it's not really a large African influence in Animal Kingdom.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
What's the one restaurant right there in Africa? Is that Tusker House?
Tusker House, but that's, yeah.
I've never been there.
I like that. I love their breakfast.
Yak and Yeti's fantastic.
Yes.
Added in, Tom, have y'all ever eaten at Yak and Yeti?
I've had
the quick service.
Yeah, I was going to say I had the counter service also. But in my opinion, Yak and Yeti, based on the counter service, just seems like it's kind of a Chinese restaurant menu. Nicer, sure, but still not that much different than...
It is. I mean, it's considered... Well, you know, inside there, they do have some curries and stuff. They do have like a seafood curry. But I think it's considered Pan-Asian. But the food's very, very good. We eat there every time we go and we have the dining plan. That's one of the places, it's one of the places we eat just about every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I would change. More sit-down restaurants. I think the African, an African-themed one, that would be great. Because I love the food from the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Right. And you cannot lose with more food.
Nope.
Jimmy, Animal Kingdom, what could you change, add, or remove?
I think that I would add some type of, and I'm not sure, maybe we can talk about this, but some type of nighttime entertainment. Something that they can do in the evening. That park always closes very early. I've never ridden Expedition Everest at night, but I've heard it's fantastic. I'm sure, you know, just like it, jumping over to Magic Kingdom, the difference between riding Thunder Mountain during the day and riding Thunder Mountain at night is two completely different experiences. I'm sure Everest is the same way, but there's just not enough there to keep people there in the evening.
Right. Now, don't forget, Avatar Land is going to – they're advertising nighttime entertainment, so they are starting to think that way a little bit. But what are you thinking about?
I would like to see another roller coaster there. They definitely need some more food options, but Something that draw people at night. Maybe even a fireworks show. Yeah. I don't know. Could they do a fireworks show without scaring the crap out of the land?
Yeah, I thought that was the whole idea. They couldn't, although I thought I heard rumor that there was going to be one. So I'm not sure exactly how that goes.
You know what would be cool? Maybe some sort of, you know, based around the Tree of Life. I guess they'd have to do some restructuring of it support-wise, but maybe something... In the circus or in Cirque du Soleil, you know those, they have the performers that kind of hang from the beams or the
acrobats.
Yeah, different acrobats with those long streams of a ribbon, material.
They have the
bees artists.
Well, they have the two birds in the Lion King show. The man and the woman birds, where they swing around on the big long sash around the stage in a big circle, and they look like they're flying.
Maybe some big show based around the Tree of Life with performers like in the tree where the tree comes to life. Maybe they could have some sort of like the animal. You know how they have the animals carved in the tree. You know how they have those shows with the performers with they're all in black, or they do like a play on black and light to make things come alive. So maybe something like that where the Tree of Life actually comes to life and the animals come out of the tree and. There's different performers coming in and out of the tree. I don't know. I think that would be
That sounds a really good idea, because you can at night then have lights lighting up certain parts of the tree. Then the sound effects kind of reflect what it's lighting up, and they could talk about the different ways to save animals or that sounds a great idea.
I agree.
Especially now that Lion King is closed for like the next 6 months.
Yeah. When are they going to open that back up? Is there a date?
I don't know, but it's gonna be a while. I mean, the cast members have to re-audition for it and everything because it's gonna be such a delay.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Tom, Animal Kingdom. What would you change, add, or remove?
Off the top of my head, I'd add a whole land about big, tall, blue people.
well, coincidence has it.
Good call.
You mean they answered my letter? Awesome.
Do you know Joe Rohde personally?
I have met him.
It counts.
Okay.
I shook his hand.
So since that idea seems to be taken already, what would you be your second idea?
I agree that it needs more dining options. I wouldn't say that. I mean, they have such a big, vast space that it seems like a lot of the space there is just not being used. I mean, you have to walk, it seems like a mile and a half to get anywhere. So it's just filling some of that space with either, you know, some more attractions or more restaurants, or just even another show. I mean, outside of the Nemo show, which used, you know, previous was Tarzan Rocks, is there really anything outside of a show? I mean, I don't call it the bird show because I don't like birds, but I could care less of that show. Just no
blew away.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I can't believe I can't believe that's not your remove. Remove those birds.
I don't want to be the most hated person in Disney World either. So
we just did that show a couple years ago for the first time, and I thought it was fantastic.
Well, do you hate birds?
No.
Well, there you go.
Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry against the birds?
I think they're creepy.
That's it. I changed my vote. That's what I want. I want more birds flying at your head in Animal Kingdom.
Is that specifically a Tom's head?
Sorry, Tom.
I do think, I mean, thrill ride wise, I mean, there's so many things I think they could add to it. I mean, or a restaurant. I think it could use another thrill ride. Outside of Everest, what's the next biggest thrill ride? Dinosaur? Is that really? Because, I mean, that's.
Do you not like dinosaur?
It's okay.
No, but I don't hate it. Tom brings up a great point, because there really is only two major thrill rides in the entire park.
Unless you call that spinning roller coaster, but
nah,
it doesn't count.
That's a carnival ride.
He likes dinosaur, except for the large pterodactyl flying at his head.
Right.
Not a true bird yet.
Right.
But I think that's why it's a lot of people consider it a half day park, because if you're not an animal lover, there's not a lot to do.
It is the Animal Kingdom.
Well, yeah.
I know that. That's But I hate to hear people say a Disney park only being a half day park. It makes me sad that they, you know, that this beautifully made park has got such a stigma of only being, you know, out by lunch type of park. You know, that's.
But didn't that's, I mean sad. Didn't studios have that stigma for a long time? I mean, when they first, the first 5 years of studios, it was terrible, right?
Well, it was only one or two rides, right?
Right. I mean, it just wasn't a whole lot there.
Well, but then, and they were growing. No, I think Animal Kingdom should definitely have more in it to keep people there, because I agree. You see the parade, and then usually that's their indicator to get out of town, to leave the park. Yeah, definitely another thrill ride. That would be cool. To do what kind, though? That's the thing.
Extreme one.
You know, I like Dinosaur, but I've heard, and I can't vouch for it myself, but I've heard that which Indiana Jones in Disneyland is much better, which is basically the same ride tech, it's the same ride vehicles and all. I've heard it's a lot better than the Dinosaur ride. So
you want to bring Indiana Jones and replace Dinosaur, or?
You know what? I mean, now thinking about after having this conversation and about the little Triceratops spin ride thing, I want to move that. If I was an Imagineer right now, I would remove all of that whole area, the whole little.
Hester and Chester,
the little cheesy fair theme thing. I would do it all.
Oh, they actually have the carnival games and stuff like that.
You're in a long line for that. That's actually where my place is going to go. My thing's going to go. What I want to do is to put something in there to add a new animal exhibit. And I think at this point, the way SeaWorld's going with their issues with the orcas, the killer whales over there, and having issues not having those shows anymore, I think it's time now for a major water exhibit at Animal Kingdom. I think they should do some type of like sea lion, walrus type of Antarctica, where you could then walk through the exhibit, kind of like the gorilla walk or the tiger walk, where you can basically experience another part of the world. Maybe southern South America, somewhere down on the tip down there perhaps, or you know, somewhere in Alaska. But again, another environment that you can actually experience.
Very cool idea, by the way.
And they have all those animals at SeaWorld to begin with, so I don't think that's any issue as far as heat and warmth and stuff like that. And I think Disney could definitely add a little extra twist onto it to make it that much better an experience. So that's what I would add to Animal Kingdom.
You made me feel like my idea is not that great anymore.
not the reason for this at all. We're going to have more of these shows down the road, so you have a second shot.
All right. Yeah. Good.
Okay, so let's move over to Hollywood Studios, and just to keep it going, let's start with Jimmy this time.
So I would definitely, no doubt about it, and I know there's already rumors about this, but I would definitely expand the Star Wars area. Mm-hmm. Without question.
Give us a specific.
I mean, wow, there's all kind of different things you can do. You know, how popular is the little Jedi Training Academy? They could expand that, do more of that type of stuff. Just the theming, just more of an immersive experience. I mean, it is really cool. Like, it's not very often when you go on Star Tours that you have to kind of line up in that queue underneath the little forest, the little Ewok village.
Right.
But when you do have to line up there, it's very immersive. You can hear the Ewoks and stuff in the tree in the tree houses. So I don't know. I'd like to see them just expand that whole little area and more immersive, you know.
Maybe some like an environment based off Tatooine with some kind of attraction or ride. Based off the pod racing.
I was thinking pod racing. I was about to say, yeah, the pod racing. How much could you do with that?
Yeah.
How cool would it be if they turn that backlot quick service into the cantina?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
we always cantina.
Hear that. Let's hear that.
Mos Eisley, yes.
That would be really fun. You know what I want to see? Totally piggybacking on your idea. Every time they have the Star Wars weekends, there's always some new little gadget or some new little fancy thing you can buy for a souvenir. Last year, they had the coolest thing. You could get yourself modeled to look like Han Solo frozen in carbonite. And Ricky Briganti over at Inside the Magic did this and videotaped it and put it online, and it was great. They do the laser measuring on your head and face, and then they make you the one in the carbonite. And then you basically had to pay them so much money, and I think they had to send it to them afterwards. They didn't make it exactly there. But give me a building that has a bunch of different souvenir items like that in it. So it's not that same little crushed store we end up going into. I think they need to expand their retail. I think they could definitely take advantage of that.
I agree. And that store is not very fun to be in. There's a lot of cool stuff in there, but because the ride dumps through it, man, when that ride, when they open it up and you're in there just kind of browsing at merchandise, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's 100 people come through the store, all running through, kids running all over the place. So it's not a lot of fun to be in that store.
Mm-hmm. So it's another idea as far as doing something different for Star Wars. Okay, Farrah, what would you do in Hollywood Studios?
Well, definitely my number one is the whole go crazy with the Star Wars thing. But since Jimmy said that, what I will say is the idea that I actually had kind of could pertain to Animal Kingdom and to the Hollywood Studios, which is expand the monorail system majorly and loop them in. Now, whether we're talking like the ticket center to the studios and to Animal Kingdom or, you know, Magic Kingdom or certain hotels to Hollywood Studios.
I think they'd almost have to create a new hub somewhere right in the center of all the parks.
Yes. Yes, I just like the idea of more monorails, period. I love the monorail system. I think it should be used more, and they should somehow put the other parks on it.
Yeah. Why do you think that never happened?
Money. Ding, ding, yes. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom's so far away that they would have to make so much track for that.
Right.
Oh, Animal Kingdom, yeah. It's a good... it's not... I mean, Animal Kingdom's... Yeah. I know it's out on its own, but it's not... I mean, it's... Like, the Magic Kingdom is the main hub, so Animal Kingdom is kind of on the other side.
The Magic Kingdom is the main hub when it was only the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Now, if you're thinking park-wide, like I was saying, you'd probably have to have a hub somewhere down where the ESPN building is and the what's the moderates? The Port Orleans places. Kind of like in the middle part of all the park area to have one major hub that you can have monorails coming into and then pulling out of.
For that matter, you could completely revamp the transportation setup where you're relying way more on the monorail system and on the Wedway. Could expand the Wedway everywhere. You could go all over, go through different hotels, just never stopping.
Farrah, do you know how long it would take for the Wedway to make it from like Hollywood Studios to Animal Kingdom?
Do they supply pillows and blankets?
The journey would be part of the whole ride, the part of the fun.
They'll have to sell food.
It could take into all kind of cool areas. Maybe
it would smell like urine after a day with all the kids peeing on.
Oh, we went there. We crossed that line.
Oh, no.
It could go down into the utilidors.
I definitely think the idea of expanding transportation is a great idea. The monorail, definitely. That's a fast, speedy, economical type of transportation once you get the track built and the new trains online. That would be awesome. I'd love that.
Wedways in all parks.
Yeah. Yeah. It would definitely be good to add extra transportation options just to kind of lessen the ones we already have.
And since we're going completely nuts, Judy Jetson seats. The little Jetson chairs.
So they drop you out when you get to the park you're at? those are the Elroy seats.
Anyway.
Yep. In the year 2121, we will see that.
I would like to make the movie ride relevant to a younger crowd. The great movie ride, I love the ride, but even at 35, it's kind of outdated even for me. I mean, there's a lot of those things that's older to the point where I've never even seen them. So I can't imagine what a young kid goes in there and, like, what am I looking at? Who are these people? I think to really kind of get these kids to grasp the love of movies, it has to be updated to more modern movies for a younger genre. I mean, they update everything because of progress, I think, but that one kind of never has. I think a complete curve of a movie ride, I think, would be a cool thing.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but let me just say, my experience the first time I went in the Great Movie Ride, I was a teenager either a teenager or early 20s. And you're right, even then, there were a lot of movies in there that I was not familiar with, but you know what? I don't know, the excitement about it was generated, at least originally when the Great Movie Ride was opened, it made me go out and see those movies, and it actually expanded my interest into a whole new area of movies that previously, you know, it had been like 16 Candles and The Breakfast Club, and, you know, so well, then I started getting into John Wayne movies and some of the old black and whites and the gangster movies.
That's something that we started not that long ago. We need to continue here at the house. It's just me, my wife, and the kids, and we started watching them in order. We went on Amazon and rented Footlight Parade, and then we did Singing in the Rain, and then, you know, so it was cool. And I get what Tom's saying, and I've thought about that before. But I mean,
it definitely needs something.
Footlight Parade was when that park opened, when they built that Footlight Parade, people couldn't identify with Footlight Parade.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie's from the 30s. So I mean, it's
let's throw the suggestion out where you have the movie Alien, which granted it was a great horror flick, it was a great science fiction movie, but I don't think it has the importance of, like, say, a Wizard of Oz or the movies you're talking or Dancing. So maybe we should, like, say, perhaps change out some of the sections of it.
And I'm not saying get rid of everything, but I do think there's been so many great epic films that's been made ever since that's been released. Like, you know, talk about Forrest Gump, Braveheart,
Titanic,
Schindler's List, Titanic. I mean,
They do update the film at the end with all the newer stuff.
But that would be cool, I guess, if it had new sections, like you know, you go through a section with Titanic or something with ship. You know?
It's all the water, like, maybe you're in the, too. And
yeah, like maybe if you're in one of the boats and stuff, and you're seeing the big butt of the ship hanging out of the water right in front of you, you know, something that they could do, that maybe through forced perspective or something to kind of put you there. That would be really cool.
That's a great. Cool.
I mean, they have it just on a platter, put something in their Marvel. I mean, put the Avengers in there. I mean, they just got this big acquisition. You can't see Marvel anywhere in the park. What a great place to put it than being a great movie writer. Have a big Avengers scene.
Hey, you know, they're about to start doing Captain America meet and greets at Disneyland.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. He's about to start appearing at Disneyland. They're just talking about Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
For Hollywood Studios, I think what I would do is does everybody know the Sounds Dangerous studio?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right next to Indiana Jones. That's
Is
that where the Drew Carey thing used to be?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Let me tell you, when I was a teenager, probably about 16 or 17, that's right after the studios open. That was actually a really, really cool little show.
Oh, yeah.
Martin Short, Chevy Chase.
Oh, right, right. The beginning one, when they had all the sound effects. Yep. I had a flash.
I was still thinking of the Drew Carey one. Maybe that was after that.
Well, Drew Carey was after, and that's like what exists now. But that first one was really fun. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yep.
Well, anyway, the studio right now is kind of empty. However, when we were down there in July, they had it set up to show previews for The Lone Ranger, which I thought was a pretty cool thing to do because we hadn't seen the movie yet, and they let you into the theater. You saw about 15 minutes of it, and it was kind of like a How We Made It. The director came up and said some things, and basically they showed us the full first train scene from the beginning of the movie. We left, they gave us some buttons, and there was a big stand-up of the Lone Ranger and Tonto that we could take pictures with. So it was a very cool, fun thing to do. Kind of a nice little break. It was air-conditioned inside on top of that.
That's cool.
I'd like them to kind of make that a formal change. Make this studio a premier studio. Have a red carpet out in front of it, perhaps. Make it the place where people can go to see what the next upcoming movie is for Disney. Go and see it. They get the we actually got the star. It was a star button. So it was a pretty cool-looking button because it was the Lone Ranger. And they could do that for whatever movie's coming up. And they give people a break. They get to market their new movie. And they get to use some empty space in the park.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I agree, too.
You're going to make the whole experience like they're walking the red carpet for the premiere.
sure, have a bunch of like cameras set up on that whole entryway yeah. walking into the studio that are flashing as you're walking in or something like that.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And they could actually take your picture. And when you look at the picture, you could hit you maybe walking down the thing with Demi Moore or, you know.
And you know what? Law. Put a cast member taking pictures of you, calling out for you to look at the camera and sell them afterwards.
Yeah.
And really, it kind of fits in because you have American Idol right down the road right there. And you have that whole area where they have those statues to TV stars also. So it kind of fits in.
I like that idea.
It's a good idea. I didn't realize they did that with the Lone Ranger. That's pretty cool.
Well, that was the first time I ever saw them use it for anything other than Drew Carey. We saw the show probably the last time, maybe 2 years ago, the actual Drew Carey show. And it got really dumpy. The studio was really kind of dirty-ish. A lot of the speakers were broken where you're plugging in your headphones and stuff. And I hope they do something nice with that place.
The little room after that was always pretty neat. They had all the little rooms you can go into and listen to the sound effects, and they had all the stuff in the middle that you can make. Like they had like the coconuts that you can make, and different types of surfaces that you can make different, like footsteps or horse.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's the same type of room for sound effects as you have over in the Animation Academy. At the other end of the park, where you could do all the different things with colors and voiceovers and cartoons and stuff.
Sure.
So it's a nice match. Okay, so we've covered Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom. Let's move on to Epcot. I think we'll start with Tom this time.
I think the obvious one for Epcot is Add More Countries.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Me too. God,
let's start that conversation now.
I do not. I have different.
Okay.
I'm glad I got to lead us on, because I knew that was stealing at least one person.
Well, since there's three of us that have that, let's go around and I tell you what, let's come up with what country you think should go and if you have an idea where it should go.
I don't know location, but I think because it's the most populated country in the world, at least one of them is India.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good one.
I don't know much about the Indian culture, so I don't really know what they'd add, but I just know it's a very dense, populated, influential country. So and they have great cuisine. So I mean, it's
very specific cuisine. You're right.
And yoga, and I mean,
the other one I thought was Greece. So those are the two that I thought for sure should be.
India would be great because I mean, there's so many iconic, you know, with the Taj Mahal and the Ganges River. This, you know, you could really do that good.
Nerd alert. On my blog over at the Maz Disney blog.blogspot.com, I have a post I did maybe about 2 or 3 years ago now. I was totally goofing around with MapQuest and Photoshop. And you know where that country is? The Africa little hot dog place and the crafts and stuff like that. Well, I put
the outpost, huh?
Right. There it goes. The African outpost by China. I put in India over there. I was able to Photoshop in the Taj Mahal, and I have a nice overhead view of it. And the ride I put in there was blue. It was the Jungle Book ride. And it was like a kind of indoor river ride type of thing. So, yeah, I kind of already did that, as my nerdiness goes. I'll throw the link to that on the Facebook page.
Your nerdiness knows no bounds.
Who's kidding who on that? Last night, we had a bunch of our pressed pennies out. We just came across the bag of pressed pennies from the last couple of times we went to the parks, and we had them all out. We had them organized, shining them up, and getting them in the books. Yes, I am a nerd.
I think that kind of stuff's cool too. I actually don't do that kind of collection, but I would. I like that kind of stuff.
Okay, Jimmy, what country were you thinking of?
I'm gonna go Australia.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Oh, good one.
And I don't know what they call it. What's the big building there?
The opera house?
The opera house?
The big opera. Yeah, the big opera house is the big curved.
Yeah.
So I think you can make a monument of that, and you know what
the
I'm
bridge.
Saying? And kind of, you could even walk into it. That could be like the front of the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
Use some forced perspective.
That was one of the original countries designed for World Showcase. They had designed about 25 different countries. And they were shopping them around to see who would sponsor what country would or what company would. And Australia was one of the ones they had. Shame they never brought it. Yeah. I would add South Africa to the list and put it over where the African outpost is, just to kind of put that in there. I think you can kind of do a lot of different things, maybe South African. a land over there. I'm not sure exactly what landmark you would bring. I was thinking more like food and...
I don't know if you necessarily have to have a land, you know?
Well, yeah, you need that. You need that different thing. Each country seems to have something that's really, really stereotypical from their land.
Yeah. And what about like...
I would go with like, Egypt.
Egypt would be a really good one, actually.
How close is it to Morocco?
A Sphinx. Egypt is not close to Morocco.
They're on opposite sides of the African continent.
Yeah. I think Greece would be good, too.
What's a good landmark in Greece? Pantheon. Yeah, right
there. Pantheon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you want to talk cuisine, they're also known for.
Right, yep. Yeah. Very true.
What about Russia?
Oh, yeah.
You could do like those palaces. You know how in Russia they've got those big palaces with like the spires come up with like the bulbs.
Mm-hmm. The Tetris buildings.
And you could they could have long lines that you have to wait in for like bread and stuff.
Right. Potatoes.
To use the restrooms.
if you're listening to the show and you are Russian,
sorry.
Make that attention Farah at the DisneyNerds@yahoo.com.
Hey, I have friends from Russia. I have friends from Russia that say that, you know, it's how when you're over there, you see a line, you just get in it. You don't even ask what it is because you just know
something good.
There's a line. Yep. Yep.
It's either going to be for potatoes or vodka.
Or bread.
Right.
I always thought Brazil would be another good one, too.
Yeah. I was thinking of that, too. Some of those South American
countries. South America. Maybe something, one of the countries that it's... Brazil would be good. Yeah.
Yeah, Brazil would be good.
Oh, yeah. All the dancing and the... Oh, yeah.
All the Brazilian women.
And men.
Have a soccer game.
Yes, soccer and the samba, the samba drone. That would be awesome.
Now, Farah, you didn't have something for a World Showcase, or you didn't think about adding a new country. What was your idea for Epcot?
Yeah, well, my idea was I know I might be in the minority here, but completely redo the nighttime entertainment.
What?
Completely redo.
No.
Okay.
Hang on. Your Imagineer card has just been revoked.
Yes. You have my attention. How are you going
to
do it?
They need to go bigger and better. I mean, to me, that's stale and outdated. They originally had a show that involved all of the countries a lot more, and I like that idea.
That was Tapestry of Nations, right?
They need to, the way they had they spotlighted each country and played some music from it, that more of a laser show. I don't think they need to go back to the show they had previously. I think they need to go more in that direction of including each of the countries more and into the nighttime entertainment. And I'm not saying that I dislike the different elements they currently use. I just think it needs to be bigger, better, more country involvement with each country being spotlighted. They light it up, you know, with the lasers and the fireworks and the lights.
That's a great idea. I do remember when each country used to say hello. They would open up the show and welcome you, and it would be each country having their own person saying, you know, in their language. That would actually be a little plus to add that there. Very good.
She said scrap the whole thing, though.
I heard that in the beginning, but
we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
It was a good idea.
Reworded.
But it would still involve the water, fireworks. I'll even let you keep the little earth in the middle.
I'm not a huge fan of the globe itself.
No.
But the music and the
I think the video show's entrancing. Every time it's up, you just start watching it. The music's perfect at that time. You're just anticipating what's going to happen next.
You know, I don't see well, so it's hard for me to see that thing, but a lot of people don't even pay attention to what's going on behind them with all the buildings and stuff in the World Showcase. Like, so if you're watching Illuminations and you're watching it from the World Showcase toward like Spaceship Earth, you don't realize how all the lights and stuff are changing and stuff like that on all the different countries. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind you.
So there used to be a lot more. I liked it when the countries did more and they had the music for each country. I loved the music that was you know, if that they had they spotlighted for America when they went to it. Anyway.
Well, that's good ideas for Epcot. I think that they could definitely do some changing around there. We didn't even touch on Future World, really. There are some things kind of growing long in the tooth over there also, which
we Universe might... of Energy?
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking that, although it's still fun. I enjoy it every time we go, so it's tough to I say that, too. But I agree, because when you do go through that ride, it's really bad when you look at it now. Between the dinosaurs that you see and the other attractions and things like that, I think they could definitely use some more animatronics in there. But again, for another show, we could probably pick that one. So we have one park left, and we're going to move over to the Magic Kingdom. Jimmy, what would you change, add, or remove from the Magic Kingdom?
Mine's going to be twofold. So first of all, I don't necessarily hate Stitch, the Stitch attraction in Tomorrowland. I know a lot of people that really just hate it. I don't hate it. Every other trip, we'll go do it. But it's definitely something that's not a must-do. It's kind of a time killer that, you know, if we're in Tomorrowland and the line's really long for Space Mountain, and, you know, one of those, and we might just go hop on it to get out, just get indoors for a little bit. And they did a good job theming it. I really liked Alien Encounter, and I was probably 15 or 16 when I got to ride that attraction. It may have been there when we went on our honeymoon in 2000. I don't remember. But that was a really, really cool attraction. So I would replace Stitch with Alien Encounter again. And
it's so funny because they replaced the Alien with Stitch, thinking it was going to be a funner ride, more kids will be able to get on it. I haven't heard any less crying, though.
No. No, kids are still terrified of it. Kids are still terrified, yeah.
So if that's the case, I agree. We should definitely be terrified for real. Bring the Alien back.
Bring the Alien back. I agree.
How scary was that?
It was.
I like the blood splatter. Bring it back.
The blood splatter, and you hear the bones crunch.
Sure. Yes. As opposed to Stitch jumping around burping on you.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I never got a chance to see the Alien thing, but the reason I don't like Stitch is that is the burping part, because I've actually gotten nauseously sick from that.
I hold my breath every time. I literally know when it's going to happen.
Oh,
my
you breath. Know it's coming. And absolutely.
Don't breathe through the entire time.
So, Tom, what do you think? Tom, what do you think's worse, Stitch's burp or a bird flying at your head?
Good question.
I still say the birds, because there's still a chance of pooping on my head. So,
so real physical abuse.
So the other question of that, what would be worse for your wife? Because if you get sick of Stitch's burp and you puke on her.
Well, she gets sick on it too, so I'm covered there.
Oh, wow, okay.
So you're not going on it.
I've done it once, and yeah, we both felt sicker than hell for like a day and a half, so we're like, we're done with this.
Mm-hmm. That is so funny.
The pre-show of that is so fun that I think it's always just fun to go on that. Anybody ever notice they always use 90210 as that number? That's Hollywood, the Beverly Hills show, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the zip code to Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah, the pre-show actually is pretty good on that. That little guy, says, I just oiled myself.
Right. Yeah. The show they used to have was good, and they actually had some pretty good actors in it. The aliens, they were advertising the whole technology, whatever they were trying to sell. But it was getting a little old. So I think that definitely the pre-show with Stitch is really a good addition. So, you know, the goods and the bads.
I'm going to post a YouTube link to Alien Encounter on the Facebook page. So, Tom, I would definitely go check that out.
Okay, Farrah, you're up.
Okay. Well, I touched upon this a little bit in my previous remarks, but I would take the People Mover and send it all over the Magic Kingdom. I would bring it down into the Utilidors and all over the place, a little in the back lot, just everywhere. I think that they could to have that constant little ride, you know, that you like to get on when your feet are a little tired and you just kind of sit back and just like, oh, you know, it's awesome. And they could just have it all over the Magic Kingdom with little drop off, you know, little get on, get off points. I understand that it's more of a Tomorrowland theming, but they could, I don't know, they could work around that. They could,
well, you know,
they could change its theming.
Yeah. I'm laughing because how passionate you are about the People Mover.
I've been saying this for a year, well, for decades.
But I do. We do ride it every time we go.
Yep, it's one of my favorites. I love that ride too.
It's very relaxing.
We get some ice cream or some snacks. We sneak them on and we just sit back and then
ride. Now, and that's another one that nighttime is definitely a different ride than daytime.
Absolutely. Yes.
Just to enjoy all the lights. And when you go in Space Mountain, it's not such a big, big shock from the light to the dark.
Get some really cool, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about the ferry boat. And we were talking about the photo shots you get of Thunder Mountain and Haunted Mansion. Well, from the People Mover, you get some great shots of the castle.
Yes. Yeah, you do.
Oh, right. Yeah. As you're flipping around by Stitch.
Mm-hmm. You get some really nice shots. You can get some really nice camera shots of Cinderella Castle riding that.
You get a lot of blurry shots, too, moving.
Yeah, that's true.
But still worth the effort.
I bet you Steve over on the Disney Nerds Facebook page could get some shots of that.
Oh, he's been posting some really good ones recently.
Oh my God, he's incredible. He does a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Magic Kingdom. Who's next? Tom?
Magic Kingdom. If I had to change anything, I would probably add a Frozen ride there. I know Frozen his characters are at Epcot right now, but all the animation rides are all at Magic Kingdom. So I think that's where the ride would be. And I think Frozen has some staying power with people. I think that's going to be one that's going to be enjoyed for years. So I think having some sort of slippery slope ride, flying down a snowed hill type of theme ride, would think would be kind of cool to have.
Hang on 1 second. Whoever's clicking, stop clicking. Continue on.
Because they've had all the recent princess, stuff there, like the Ariel, they have the Rapunzel bathrooms, and all the princess stuff is centralized around Magic Kingdom. So they really want to still grow Fantasyland. I think having some sort of Frozen aspect would be a really cool addition.
Do you think maybe it's just a little premature for Frozen? I mean, I don't know. I think it was a great movie. I think the soundtrack was really good. I think they could do something.
A show
or something with it, but I don't know.
Yeah, a stage show would be great, too. I mean, that would be fine. But, yeah, I mean, they already have, Merida as a permanent resident in a certain place, and her movie's not much older than...
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Yep.
So I mean, plus this one has a sisterly aspect where it's two new additions, not just one. So
maybe like a cooling spot or something that's Frozen themed, where you could get some special kind of Frozen treats and experience like a little area where you can cool off from the hot weather.
Kind of like what they did in Epcot by Test Track with the little, what I'm talking about? They get the little car,
yeah,
that kids can climb on, and they got all the misters and stuff right there, and there's a little refreshment stand right there.
Right, but like maybe a little bigger too, and a little more not inclusive, not interactive, but where you really feel like you're in the Frozen world.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I was thinking is they just do like a copycat of kind of what they do at the Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios, but do like a Frozen show like that over towards the back by where the Little Mermaid ride is, and just have it kind of a stage show it back there. I think that'd be kind of a cool thing.
And I've got some friends that just got back a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago, and they were telling me, I was at his house the other yesterday, and they were so disappointed. They waited in a long line and didn't realize that Belle, that was just like like the story time with Belle, Enchanted Tales with Belle or whatever it is.
Hmm.
With the line and everything, they thought it was an attraction.
Did they have kids?
No.
Well, it's, I laugh, but I would still, I made the mistake of not waiting on the line last time we were there to see that. I haven't seen it yet, and I would wait online to see it at least once.
Yeah, I'd probably go see it.
I like it. My son loves it, so.
He did say, and we didn't go on it, but he did say the little while you're waiting in line, apparently they get the big, the Shifaroob.
Okay.
And it's like an animatronic, almost like Mr. Potato Head. It talks to you. It's got...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the Armoire lady.
Armoire, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely, even if you don't have kids, you've got to see it once. The animatronics in that attraction is unreal. Lumiere, I would say, is even more impressive than she is.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Now I'm going to go see it. When we go in April, I'm going to go.
Okay, so Magic Kingdom, one more change. I'm up. Carousel of Progress. I love the Carousel of Progress, and I have no issue with the first three scenes. The issue I have with scene number four, the Christmas scene, that supposedly is the present. It's been the present for about the last 15 years, and I think they've got to commit to people knowing what the present's like. We all live in the present, so we don't need to see it. I still want to see the future. It is Tomorrowland, after all, and I understand how the Carousel Progress is, you know, an old original ride, things like that. That's why I really like to keep all the first three scenes the same, the older scenes. The scene that changes, or seems to change the most, had been that last scene anyway. So let's get something in the future. Let's try to think what it's going to be like 100 years from now, 50 years from now. If we're wrong, well, that happens. I'd still like to see what some of the ideas would be.
I don't think it would. I mean, you're not talking about a ton of money. I mean, I guess it's still a ton of money, but I mean, it's not like building an attraction or something like that. The animatronics are still there. So you're just redesigning that one set.
And that set doesn't even have any side sets. It's only got the one
main set, right?
Right, right.
Right.
Stage. So, you know, put it on a space station. It could be got, you know, they can be having the Christmas party on the space station. That's fine. That works. Or underwater. Or something for the future.
You tired of seeing Grandma?
No, definitely not. I keep all the characters. Have Grandma even beat the kid at the video game in something new, but let's get a video game that has her waving in the air with, like, you know, laser beams as opposed to wearing that old helmet that actually was a guess at the future that never happened. They had virtual reality for a little while, but it never picked up as well as they were portraying it in that attraction in the Carousel of Progress. They had a couple of the arcade games where you could get yourself strapped in with the helmet. I don't think they ever brought it at home really that big.
They tried Virtual Boy, but it bombed big time.
Yeah. So yeah,
it didn't go.
So they already have made mistakes in the past. What could they hurt to try to make guesses at the future and maybe make a mistake again?
I mean, I guess if you're guessing at the future, is there really a mistake? I mean,
well, they've guessed right a lot of times too, though.
I'm just saying, I mean, once you, if you're constantly evolving it, like you're saying, it doesn't really matter what you guess. Once it catches up, you just move on and redo it.
Right. Or if something all of a sudden materializes that's going to totally blow away what your idea is, well, then, yeah, you got to kind of modify.
Sure.
But, yeah, so something I would definitely change. Well, we all had some pretty good ideas tonight about some of the things we might want to change down at Disney World. We used our armchair imagineering to come up with some ideas that might make the parks a little bit nicer, better, or just make a lot more sense. What do you have? What kind of ideas would you come up with to make some changes to the park? What would you change? What would you add? What would you remove? Let us know at the show at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know what you think.
And guys, look, there's no better time than right now to start planning a trip to Disney. Right now you can save up to 30% on a room for most of the nights from March 14th, 2014 through June 15th, 2014. So to book or just get a quote, contact us on Facebook at Once Upon a Time Travel. You can email us at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or give us a call at 504-304-4904. And please leave a message. We are a fee-free agency, so it doesn't cost you anything extra to book with us than you would if you booked just directly with Disney. And you'll get some good advice.
Okay, so that's it for show number 18 of the Disney Nerds podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Baharini.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
If you only imagine, the impossible can come true. Take a chance and you'll see there's nothing you can't do. So show your true colors back. true.